Welcome to the Healing Ourselves, Heals Our Hoods podcast with your own Desiana Torres. This is a place for humbled, open, and transparent conversations with members of our own community. Here you can find diverse testimonies of the oppression and trauma faced on both individual and community levels. Do you want to validate the suppressed emotions you've never had the opportunity to speak about? Interested in breaking the silence? Then let's validate all that you feel right here, right now on this podcast. Let's go. Today's a great day. For the most part, it has been one that allowed for me to kind of take a couple deep breaths because this was a really rough week for me at work. And so I'm really excited for the conversation that we're going to be able to host because sometimes our jobs also impact our mental health, you know what I mean? And I work with a population with folks who struggle with homelessness. So sometimes that can really take a toll on my emotional self because I'm such an empath and I just want to give so much love to everyone around me. So today I'm focusing on pouring into my cup and I hope that that is a priority for you all as well. So welcome to the folks who are joining already. Welcome, welcome. Today we have a special guest. I can already see the request here of someone who is a poet, someone who also speaks life into other folks, someone who I actually had the pleasure of meeting with right before this week and understanding their life experiences and how it actually mimicked my own. I was real shocked that like someone can almost mimic my soul, and through the life experiences that this person has gone through, I'm excited to be able to allow for this platform to give them that space to share. And so I'm going to welcome them. Hello.
Yes. Hello. Hello, what's good?
How you doing?
You know, ups and downs, and we just make the best of the situation, be creative, and just, make our mental health a priority.
That part, I feel it. I was just telling the folks that this was a rough week for me at work, emotionally. So I'm kind of like recovering. Today's like my recovery day. But I'm excited to be able to host this podcast because the conversations that we are going to engage in, I feel like are going to create that space where it just feels like I'm being filled with life, you know? And I hope that those who are tuning in and listening as well, I hope they are also taking in the message of the things that you hear. Maybe you may have experienced the same thing, maybe something similar, maybe you have not. But the important thing is we are creating this platform to allow folks to know the importance of storytelling. And so with that being said, I want them to know a little bit about you and your history. Like what is mental health? How does that look like for you in your purpose, in your life?
Oh, yeah. My name is Molimon Andrew Fatu. I'm a poet, Samoan descent. I was born here in Long Beach, California, family of six. I'm the oldest of six. Unfortunately, one of our sisters didn't make it. It was a miscarriage, but I barely remember. It was just me and my other sister, honored that we were like kids, and they buried in the Samoa. It's a small island in the South Pacific called Samoa, and we barely remember. It's like in our photo albums. And mental health to me is having peace of mind, like knowing that we're resilient people. Like no matter what life throws our way, you know, like you said, you had difficulties at work. You know, there's other people like myself had difficulties just growing up, just the environment as yourself. I grew up in Long Beach, California, and just like the opportunities weren't always there. You know, we just made the best of the situations. Like growing up, we used to get those shopping carts and like put like a basketball court. You know, we just made our own basketball courts out of that way. We used to just like play in the back alleys of the apartments, throw alley oops, you know, lobs and start dunking, you know, just making the best of what we had in those days and just knowing that we have the power of creativity. And like even where I'm at in my life, being a first-time homeowner, being a first-time college graduate, a first-generation college graduate, and you always remember the times where you were in the struggle, you know, the times where you barely had anything. You know, there were times where my family, we were living in like these roach motels, you know, in Long Beach, and like crack pipes in the hallway, smelling like hot piss, you know. It was terrible, but like we're all bunched up in like this one room, but we made it somehow, you know. That was just resilience and just like My dad, he was always like working all the time, so like he barely was there. It was always our mom at home, you know, cooking the meals, picking us up from school, things like that. And yeah, that's like a little peek about who I am, how I grew up, and what I feel. I'm just happy to have these kind of podcasts because we are doing God's work as well. You know, we praise the Most High, and what we do, we use our voice, whether it be in poetry, spoken word, music, and in podcasts. We're artists, and our voices are powerful, and people need our voices. So whatever they go through, they can be like, hey, Des did that podcast, or Molly did this, and it can help them get through their day.
Yeah, that's definitely the perfect sell-off for this to be just a place where folks can come and just feel validated, even if that's all you get. If you don't even relate to it, and maybe your experience was similar but a lot different, it's just hosting a space where we can just come and be like, yo, this is the real side of what life is looking like. Like, these are the real struggles that a lot of us folks are going through that we don't always have the opportunity or space to talk about. And with this platform, I admire that folks like you, Molly, are participating to volunteer and share your story and be vulnerable. And to get started into, talking about more of mental health, I am curious to know, and I'm sure folks are curious to know, what life experiences have you been through that may have impacted your mental health?
I mean, my first experience that impacted my mental health was just being molested at like 12, 13 years old. That was the first time I never thought, like, I didn't know how to react. Like, what is this? Like, why did this person do this to me? What did I do to deserve this? You know, I had a lot of questions. So it's like, where's this God that we praise every Sunday? Why did it happen to me? You know, I was like playing a victim and not knowing what did I do to deserve it? Why this happened? Like, why did this guy violate me in that way? I'm a minor, and it's supposed to be this place of holiness. You know, you have to pass this house at night. I think we're sleeping over there to like watch the pastor because I guess like they want to travel for like some other services or things of that nature. So like, he used to always contact my parents, and we're like, because my dad was like a senior deacon, so like, we had to go there and just like babysit the house pretty much. And I was just sleeping, and then unfortunately I got touched, and the rest was history. Like, I got touched, I didn't know what to do, how to react, because I was still a kid, you know. It's like a grown ass man, even though he was gay, but still, it's a grown ass man just taking advantage of my vulnerability. And from that instance, I kind of like suffered within. That's my first time. If many times I just like suffered within, I didn't tell anybody about it. I didn't even tell my parents about it because I just felt like, you know, it was scary to like come out because I thought I'd be disgraced or ridiculed or the consequences of being vulnerable. You know, at that time, you know, people were about, you know, thought like, you know, use like those slurs like, you know, you're a fag or you're gay, you know, things like that. And I just didn't want to go through that as a kid, so I just chose to be resilient and suffer within at that time.
And when you share about suffering with an experience of sexual assault, I can relate to that as well with my own personal experience that as well. And for some of my experience, it also being somebody from the church. And what we've come to understand is it's the experience that definitely creates the trauma, but it's the lack of safe spaces that we have to be able to heal from that. So many of us end up going through things as kids or as teenagers when we start growing up and really trying to, learn the world and things of that sense. Sometimes there is a trauma there, and we carry that throughout our life. If we never get that healing, it's almost like when folks say you throw it under the rug and you leave it there. So many of us end up really pushing towards our lives, carrying things that we are unaware of how it's impacting our mental health. Some of us are probably sleeping in with extra depression, and you're like, what is going on? Like, this is off. And what a lot of it is not having that safe space. And so when you started to get older from 13 years old, you started really growing older. At what moment did you realize that your mental health, that you started becoming self-aware of how it was impacting yourself, I mean, your mental health?
I think a lot of that's when I went to high school, you know, when you got to like relationships, you know, at that time your hormones all jumping and stuff like that. know, you're talking to like different girls as I was, and then like I didn't know how to react, you know, because I had all this anger in me, you know. There's all this, like, that's what happens when you bury like your inner child so deep, you know, and it's like the inner child just wants to play, you know, it's just like wants to reach out his hand and just hold you and things like that, wants you to grab his hand. But it was just hard, you know, especially being as a man, especially a man of color. It's, you know, we get these things where you got to be tough all the time. Can't show no weakness or any weakness at all, especially being in the hood. So, like, you had to, like, just go with it. Unfortunately, you just got to keep pushing. That's what I did. I mean, I still made mistakes even to that day, you know, this day. Like, when I went to high school, I didn't even graduate on time. That's another episode where, like, my grandma, you know, she, you know, rest her soul, you know, she's not here anymore. But at the time, she came all the way from Samoa to see me graduate from high school, and I didn't even graduate from high school. I ended up having to go to adult school and, you know, taking extra courses, and then my parents gave me the quiet treatment. They wouldn't even talk to me or acknowledge me at the time. I guess they were so disappointed in me. Because I remember that day, too, I was crying in the principal's office. I was, like, bawling tears, like, damn, I'm really not graduating. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like a disgrace. It was terrible. You know, that's another part of just being tested mentally and just knowing that, yeah, I cried it out, but what do I do after that? I had to just keep going, and because no one else was going to save me but me.
I feel like a lot of folks can relate to that. No one else is going to save me except me. Because a lot of us have had to have been our own heroes, especially with the stuff that we struggle with. Because we keep it internally, we keep it inside, it's really hard for us to feel safe to ask for that help. And so there are times where there are unresolved trauma that can begin to impact how we live and exist in the world. So it starts to impact our certain roles. Maybe your role as a daughter or son, where you are having this anger towards your parents and you're not understanding what the underlying reason is. A lot of it could be the unresolved trauma, or navigating at work. You know, if somebody raises their voice at you, maybe that's a trigger because that's something that you used to experience in your life and how that made you feel. And so you're definitely right when it comes to understanding and becoming self-aware of like where we are, how it's impacting us, because it can cost us these experiences in life where, you know, when you talked about going to high school and having family disappointed because you didn't graduate. And I can only wonder how many other folks also didn't graduate because maybe they just weren't in the right headspace to really be present when you're learning material. And to go deeper into it, when you live in the hood, that's a different life experience because you're having to navigate living in a world that feels so unsafe. You are dodging bullets. Maybe you live in a crime-infested neighborhood. Maybe there's drugs. Like, you're having to survive so much of the world. And when you go into these classrooms, are you fully present? Like, are you really fully paying attention and listening and able to grasp the information that's going around you? Because for most of us folks, we're not. And that's why
people
really struggle from not being able to have that success of walking the stage with their friends and having those memories because of those impacts. And so what I'm interested in knowing as well is how did it not being talked about, especially from a male perspective, because for women, we're allowed to be more emotional. But for men, it's like, nope, men don't cry. Like, it's stripped from y'all. So from your perspective, how does that as another barrier really prevent you from dealing and connecting with your mental health?
It's really difficult because it's just, we get this notion and like, we don't have the option to be vulnerable. But then you look at, like, the music that we were growing up in the hood, like DMX, he was vulnerable, you know what I mean? Like, he was talking about, you know, robbing people and just going through what he went through. Even Tupac, you know, I was, like, my favorite rapper growing up was Pac, you know. He was always just, like, talking about his mom and how he was trying to get with this girl and Brenda's baby, you know, things like that. Like, it was hard. Like, the only way I could get through it was to, like, unfortunately, I was smoking weed, you know. Partying, turned up, house party, ditching school, hanging so-called with the wrong crowd. But it's like, they say the wrong crowd, but I learned a lot from them kind of people, you know what I mean? Like, gang members and all that. Like, I learned a lot. Like, I learned about just, like, don't go at this corner. Don't go to this liquor store. Be on your P's and Q's, you know? things of that nature, you know, just like survival tactics and just knowing that sometimes doing right ain't always the right thing to do sometimes, unfortunately. You know, if somebody hurts a loved one of yours, you're not just going to sit there and be a doormat, you know. You're going to want to go take revenge. Like, oh, they took one of my brothers, I'm going to go take their brother out, you know, that kind of thing. But it's, that shouldn't be the way. It's really hard. Like, I didn't have a lot of avenues. But there was always this one person, my big brother, Pete. He's no longer here either. He died fighting cancer. And he was always my main big bro I always went to. You know, that was like another episode where it shook my mental health, because this was a person that we always went to. You know, he took us to the parks. He took us to, like, amusement parks. He took us anywhere. They, like, every time we had, like, you know, celebration of his kids, like, hey, my son about to have this birthday party. Come on up. He always call us up. And then he'd be like, hey, bring the Madden. Bring your Xbox. Come on, let's get on it. You know, we get Xbox, dominoes, you know, playing Uno. He was always that guy. He was real family-oriented. He was a real loving brother. Like, and that was one of the other episodes that kind of shook the, kind of rocked the foundation, because we didn't expect it. You know, the first time he said, oh, I got cancer. Man, we was just joking, you know. We thought he was like, because he was like the life of the party, you know what I mean? Like, he was always, you know, the social butterfly, the one that was always going to, like, make these better no matter what you went through. When you went to his house, it just brought smiles and laughs. I remember times where he always ordered the Pacquiao fights when he was living in North Long Beach. He ordered the Manny Pacquiao fights, and, like, we all go there, and the food was ready. He had the lumpias. You had the Modelo's, you had the, you know, fried chicken, everything. It was just good times, and used to always vibe right there. But, you know, there's not much we can do. We always just honor him. I know he lives within us, and but at the same time, as a human being, even though we're spiritual beings in these bodies, it's still difficult because we wish he was still here.
And I feel like that's another thing that can, or another life experience that can impact how we connect to our mental health. Grief, just grief. Like, our family, and hi, my auntie's in here as well. My grandmother.
Yes, my brother, my young brother. My little cousin said hello. I see him. My younger brother, my little brother right there, and then my younger brother. He's on commenting. You know, rest in peace, the big bro. Yeah. I see y'all. You know.
Much support. Thank y'all for also being present in this video as well, and for participating in our comment section. And so grief is definitely a life experience that can really impact our mental health. Like, I feel like I'm still recovering from losing my grandmother, even though that was 2 years. I feel like time does not really align with how do you heal from grief. Because you can understand how life works. You can understand, okay, there's life and there's death. People don't live forever. But at the same time, it's like, damn, but that still hurts to not be able to see them in the physical world. And how can we continue to move on in life and function knowing that they will no longer be a part of my life, or my life success is coming up, you know? And grief is something that's also not really talked about. I feel like folks come together, you know, at the end of, for like for the funeral, they come and they show support. But what happens when all that quiets down? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's true. You know, it's really true. I see what you're saying, because, you know, I always try to keep in touch with his sons, you know, with his oldest son, because he kind of reminds me of myself, you know. His oldest son, Obuchi, was like real quiet, you know, just like he's always focused on the studies and, you know, like he was like, he's kind of like a gentle giant kind of thing. So it's kind of like me. So, like, I always relate to him. We talk for hours. I always just check on him. Even when I'm at work during lunch breaks, I'll call him, like, hey, how you doing, bro? Like, how's your mom's? How's everybody at the house? You know, he was telling me yesterday, like, yeah, my sister's about to graduate. And I'm like, man, I feel like I'm getting old already. You know, these kids are growing so fast, you know? I was like, man, I remember when y'all was, like, up to my belly button. Now they all, like, getting taller than me. It's like,
no, seriously. But, you know, and I'm starting to hear that too. Like, me and my family members were like, damn, we're starting to be the adults now. Like, that's wild, you know. And seeing the younger generations, I think what is beautiful to know is that sometimes we go through life experiences that we can now provide that wisdom to them and ensure that even though we probably didn't have that safe space, that we can allow for them to know that they have that ability to come to us and feel safe to engage in those reflective conversations that are both therapeutic and healing to our soul. And you're right. I highly recommend for folks who are experiencing grief or you know someone who's going through grief, like check on folks, you know, even if it's been a year, like still check in because there are holidays that occur that in the year that starts to feel empty. Like there are certain moments and or certain times in the year that really gets heavy for families. And being able to also, as people who are grieving, give ourselves that space to also grieve. Because a lot of times we just kind of keep going and going. At least I can only speak about myself, but sometimes I do that because I'm like, oh, I don't want to feel it now. Like, I'm not ready to feel it yet.
Yeah, I understand that. Like,
So.
I remember his last days, just like it was hard seeing him that way. Like he was like this vegetable. Like it was hard for him to breathe, hard for him to speak. It was terrible. Like it was bad. And I haven't met with my wife, you know, before he passed. He was telling me, just live your life, my brother. You know, live your life. Also, like, don't let nothing stop. Stop you, just continue to be great as you are. Like, also like his last words for me, and he told my wife, like, just take care of my brother, take care of each other, you know. It was hard that day.
I could definitely understand that because grief is just not an experience that is easy to talk about, yet live it. And so I really appreciate you also sharing that. And RIP to your family members. You got grandma, then also your brother, big bro. So we definitely celebrate their life and the wisdom that they continue to have an impact on your life. Because although they're not here, you can still see they still influence who you are today. And that's beautiful to witness. When it comes to mental health, what kind of struggles have you had personally? Like for me, for instance, I can say that I struggle with like depression and anxiety some days, especially now as a new mom. There's postpartum depression and postpartum anxiety. And so those are some of the mental health struggles that I go with. Do you have any in particular that maybe you've been diagnosed with or maybe undiagnosed? Because there's some, a lot of us folks who live in a hood, there's undiagnosed PTSD, you know? So.
I mean, when I was institutionalized back in 2010, because I overdosed on some on Tylenol painkillers, trying to take my own life at the time, and it was just a lot going on. I was losing my jobs. I lost some more, you know, loves owing to the more family. I felt defeated. You know, I was at like 370 pounds. I was just smoking my life away, smoking like Marlboro Lights, like every other day, packs, you know. It's just, I just felt like, damn, I was giving up. I lost the joy in life. Like, I didn't even want to play video games. I didn't want to do anything at that time. I was like, man, let me just go. I think taking my life was like, so I don't suffer. But then looking back, it's like people do suffer and you still suffer because honestly, like, we're never alone. Like, we all come from these great family ancestors, you know, thousands of generations. And I feel like later on, once I got out of that institution, you know, just being on suicide watch in Chinatown and the Kaiser in LA, and they just kept watching me 24/7 because they're like, oh, this dude might try to take his own life or he might try to hurt somebody. I remember one time where my family came to visit me and I was trying to go. And like, they had all these security guards trying to block me from going out. Cause you know, I'm a big guy, you know, I'm like 6'4", 300 some pounds. So they're like, oh shit, I was trying to get out. And then like, I think I accidentally pushed the lady down. But shit, I was like, man, I was just not in my right mind at the time. So I was just like, trying to bulldoze and run through everybody just to leave.
Man, and I, you see, when we met on Thursday as well, what I was really
Yes.
inspired by is your ability to storytell and the stories you come up with as well to be able to share. And I want to take this opportunity for folks to shout, or for you to shout out your books because you are a storyteller, essentially. You're a poet. And I feel like folks can really connect back to you and your stories based on like the life experiences that we share. And yeah, so can you shout out your books, let folks know where they can find it?
Oh yeah, my books. I got 3 books. My first debut book was in May. I self-published all of them. My first book was called The Diary of a Mad Uso. Uso is like the word for brother in Samoan. That's like the slang word they created. So I made that in 2016 while I was going to Long Beach City College. I used to write poems since I was in elementary school, like 4th grade. But I used to just write them to myself at the time. Like, I never went up to present it or things like that, read it in front of people. The first time I did that, when I was at Long Beach City College, like 2014, I was really nervous. I was sweating. My palms was shaking. Body was shaking. It was crazy. Like, I was really nervous. And I also have a second book. It's called Poetic Soul Pieces. Uso Lasri, Poetic Soul Pieces. That was my second book I made in 2018. And then the last one I made, it was... I released it on my big bro Pete's birthday, the one I was talking about earlier, on December 3rd, 2020, during the pandemic. I made that book. It's called Uso Poetic, Uso Four Pieces. So I wrote that one too. That's like my 3 books right there. They're all on Amazon. I also have like copies at the house. Like, it's in the box. I have unsold copies. So if you guys want to DM me, I can mail it to y'all. You know, send me your address. I'll mail it to you guys. You could cash at me. I'll just give them as gifts these days now, just because of the generational blessings I'm receiving and inspiring others, of course, as well.
Appreciate that so much. I know that you also wanted to share some poems. Did you still want to do that?
Oh yeah, I will. You know, can always do that. You know, just I got so many poems. Writing was one of my avenues of getting through mental health too. You know, writing, spoken word, poetry, going to these open mics, because when that pandemic hit, man, it was hard. Like, I knew poets that relied on that, you know, because a lot of poets I knew were like, that was their occupation, you know? They were going to speak at the schools and things of that nature. So it's like, once that pandemic hit, it was bad. It was a struggle. But then I started going on the Zoom, you know, I started doing those Zoom open mics. Like, it was cool. You know, I got to hear cats from like Florida, Chicago, people from like Australia, you know, all around the world, you know, but like, it wasn't the same, you know. I'd rather be in person, you know what I'm saying? Like, right there in the flesh, just feel that person's soul right there. But yeah, I mean, we always get through it. I mean, that's a product of us being resilient, you know, knowing that nothing can stop us. We'll find a way to create something, you know, and that's what we do. That's what our people always done. I mean, whether you're from the South Pacific, Africa, Latin America, Caribbean, like, they always found a way, you know what I mean? Like, that's who we are. That's what we do, you know?
Yeah, that's so true. That is so true. What piece did you want to... First off, I want to acknowledge that you create that space during COVID, because that's so fire. I feel like a lot of us got so creative during COVID to survive. Creating those platforms and being able to be adaptable to the environment of what our world was under, I feel like it's so real, because I recognize that through the computers, even though the space is there, it's not the same as in person, you know? And when it comes to therapy, I want folks to know too, if you can go in person, it's definitely different also in person than it is over the screen, because some of us get so used to just relying on the screen because it feels safer, because we don't really have to really, really feel it and face it, you know?
Yeah.
I just want to recognize that comment and use that as an example for folks to, you know, recognize how important it is for us to check in on ourselves. But also wanted to create the platform for you to share any spoken word piece that you would like.
Yeah, I'm going to share this one. It's called Walking with My Grandma. It just brought me back to the days when my grandma was here and just spending time with her. Here we go. I remember walking with my grandma to the ice cream truck in the hood of the LBC, cracks in the concrete, but walking in divine protection. Even as a child, I could see how she loved me, how her aura was blessing me, because as she was leaving to the ancestral realm, she birthed me with giving me the name Molly Ma Adjufatu. which is some more means testimony of an angel's heart. But I didn't know at the time, because I was young and unaware of my power and of her power, her womb intelligence bestowed upon me. For I was only enjoying the time with her walking to get ice cream in the LBC.
Man, and that hit my soul, because I just imagine my grandma in that, you know, the wisdom that our family members pass on to us and our ancestors leave us with literally help us to create a legacy of our own. And I honor that, and I thank you for being able to share that home as well. And for folks who are out there, can connect to that piece. Maybe you had a grandma that raised you, or maybe, you know, your grandma was your safe space, or the person whose hugs you just crave to have the most. And so we honor all grandmas in this moment, whether they are here or on the other side as well. And so what inspired that poem? When you say that writing was help, allowed you to help heal, I want folks to know that they too can connect to poetry in that same way, right? And so for you, what was the inspiration behind that?
The inspiration behind that poem was just remembering the good times, reminiscing about the times when she was here, you know, reminiscing about the times, those ones that love you were here in the flesh, in the 3D realm we're living in. And you just got to enjoy the moments while you can. You know, I always talk to my wife too about, you know, we're not going to be here forever in the flesh, but let's enjoy the time while we're here, you know, enjoy the time we have for with each other, you know, and to know that no matter what comes our way, we're always there for each other. What if I'm crying or she's crying? We just hold each other and then just go on and just laugh, you know, and just find some things to enjoy. You know, like me, man, I'm a foodie too. Like, we some foodies, man. Like,
I definitely hear you with that. I can say the same too. I'm not even gonna lie.
I mean, all people like the Boricuas, man, they cook some bomb ass food. I remember I went to this place in Norwalk. It's like a Puerto Rican restaurant. I went there, man.
Fire.
I think it was fire, but like, y'all cook these bomb dishes, you know what I'm saying? Like, Hawaiian, Samoan food. Man, it's pretty much soul food from the tropics. The art food, you know, like the Caribbean, you know, Puerto Rico. That's pretty much soul food from the, you know, from the water, man, from the island.
That part. Yeah. And right, me and my sister just had some pasteles. I don't know if you've ever had that before.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. That nice.
Yeah, they are good. They are fire. I'm actually craving some. And that's the thing, too, because you see, my grandma also held all the family recipes when it came to cooking, and not one of us took the time to be with her in the kitchen. And that's something that I regret the most. So I felt like we blocked our own blessing of being able to provide that experience for our kids and to continue that tradition. And we start to notice that all the way around, like, folks are forgetting to the important parts of wisdom that allow for us to teach those values to our kids, to keep them connected to our culture. And so if your grandparents are still living, or your parents in general, like, really go in the kitchen and spend time with them, like, learn how to cook those favorite meals you love. So that could be a meal that you can pass on to your kids and so on. And I appreciate the ability for folks to storytell, because storytelling is therapeutic. It's healing. It allows for you to have those good memories of things that you may have not remembered existed in your memory box. And when it comes to healing from grief and also healing from trauma that is experienced, you got to be creative with it. It's not going to take away from how it feels. I'm going to be honest with you. It's still going to hurt. But this is when you're able to transform your pain into power. And that's where it becomes important, because, like, what you said, Molly, is that you can become resilient from that experience based on how you process that. And so I'm going to create the space right now to allow for you to have or leave folks with some advice about maybe what are some ways that they can engage in to help them acknowledge or become self-aware with their mental health, or to help cope in a healthier way.
I mean, the knowledge that I could give the people, because I know I'm not perfect. I still cope with ways, like, you know, I got Crown Royal on my drawer in my bedroom, you know what I mean? Like, but there are better ways to cope with it, you know? Like I said, like, you can go to an open mic. You don't even have to perform. You could just go there and just witness it, you know, witness the talent that's there. You know, to me, that's kind of like my church because people are testimony, like I'm showing their testimonies to how they feel, what they went through. You know, you got, you know, poets and artists talking about a breakup, someone that passed away, things of that nature. So it's like, why not just go there and just witness that and see if that could light a fire within your creativity or just be like, damn, man, that was a really dope story I just heard from you. You know, when I was going to the open mics, man, like I used to do my poems and then people would come after, blind, let me get your book. Or, hey, man, they'll come shake my hand and they'll give me all this advice. And like, they'll tell me, man, that thing was inspiring, bro, man. You spit that real, you know? And it's like, there's no feeling like that when a person comes up to you and just tells you how they were touched by your art. And there's many ways too. Like with the mental health thing too, what I learned, I started dancing too. Like, cause I used to be a Polynesian dancer back in my church, my old church. So like, we used to do like the hulas and the warrior Fijian warrior dances and things like that. So, you know, I used to move my hips a little bit back in the days. So I still know how to do it, cause you know, like he says, within our ancestors, you know, that's another way of getting your mental health ready. Like, go dance, go have some fun, you know, go with some friends too. Like, you don't have to go out and drink alcohol, but you can go out and like have some tacos, you know, get some L&L, some wild barbecue, you know what I mean? Just have a good time, you know, check a movie, you know, then like you could check out a movie that you like, you know. That's what me and my friend did. My friend Ken, we went to watch the Wakanda Forever when it came out. You know, we did those kind of things. That's like advice for like mental health right there.
Yeah, no, and I feel like that's something that's so accessible to a lot of us because you're right. And back in the day with our ancestors before like colonization, things of that sense, folks used to really do healing circles. And what they'd do would dance around in circles with family members and really just hit on drums and different instruments. And that was their soul. And so what Molly is sharing as well is the ability that we have to connect to that part of our ancestry and engage in it and to be able to also release what it is that we carry. Because you're right, so many of us folks have been going through so much. Maybe we haven't even fully recovered from the pandemic that we're in this spot in our life where we're experiencing maybe more depression than normal, more anxiety than normal. And what are we really doing for ourselves to help us get out of that? Are we allowing ourselves to stay in the bed and sleep? Or are we getting up and moving our hips and our shoulders a little bit, you know, and trying to find those little moments that can help us cope with the day? And so I really appreciate those forms of advice, but more so, also appreciate how you were keeping it real about how you never know how impactful your life story will be. Because when you shared, you would go to schools and you'd present your poems. And mind you, your poems are your life story. They're experiences that happened to you. At the end, folks will always come up to you and be like, I needed that, or I heard you, or I seen you, or I can relate to that, or that was inspiring. Like, it does something to folks. And so the thing that you are experiencing, the life experience that you are probably going through now, or something that you are ashamed of, could be a life experience that holds so much power and healing in it that it can be used to help other people in your generation to process and feel validated. So together y'all create that space to heal. And that's exactly why storytelling is so impactful. It don't matter how you do it. We're storytelling on IG Live. That's now also a podcast. Storytelling, me and you are both authors and poets, so we storytell in creative ways in writing as well. And so your healing doesn't have to look like just going to therapy and that's it. It's finding the therapists are going to help you find things that you admire and that helps you find joy. So getting to know yourself in that sense as well is very important. I know, were you going to share something as well and add on?
Oh yeah, you know, just like you said, like I think the Western world with the whole colonization kind of like robbed us of our like ancestral gifts. You know, like we was doing dances, you know, hulas and freaking hakas, you know, and the salsa, the merengue, you know what I mean? Like our peoples was all doing it all around the world, you know what I mean? You had in Africa doing the same thing. Like that's what our people do. Like if you look at our cultures, it's like it's all similar. You know, like they have the fiestas. My people got the luaus, you know what I'm saying? Like it's all similar. We all gather. We're people of gathering. We're people of like social network before this whole social networking. You know what I mean? Like we been used to do that. You know, back in the days, you'd be like, hey, we used to knock on our friend's door, be like, you know, ask the parent, hey, can I come outside? Remember them days, you know what I mean? Like we used to do that, you know, like before they came with the Facebook and the MySpace and all that, whatever. We was doing that, you know. I remember when I had the Sega Genesis back in the day, like when it was in its prime, man, people were like, hey, let me come over, let me play, bro. Let me play, bro. And then they start playing, and the next thing you know, we're playing outside, throwing the football, you know, getting some scars on the knees and the elbows, all that, you know.
Seriously, and I feel like you don't see that enough existing in our shoes today. I think the technology has taken the attention away from a lot of folks, and we know how to exist on screen, but not really off screen. You know, it's like lights, camera, action, and then you know how to perform on here or show your best self. But who's really living authentically to who they truly are? And how are we authentically living? Are we connecting to ourselves? Are we connecting to our community? Because I feel like what we lack in the hood that used to happen back then, like you're mentioning, is you remember when people used to pop open the fire hydrants and the whole come outside and
play? Yeah, when it was the summer days, I remember those days we had the water guns, the super soakers, the water balloons, and we had the slide. Remember the slide? You had that water slide, the own ghetto custom water slide, but we made it happen, you know. I remember back in the days when we used to get the water hose and just wet ourselves outside, just made it happen, you know.
Yeah, I'm telling you, those experiences are jump roping or playing tag on the kids, so much so that as soon as you got in the house, your parents was like, go take a bath. Like, you smell like outside.
We smell like outside. I remember, man, freeze tag, how to go see.
Yeah.
Man, those were the days. Like, I miss when we had all that energy, you know, as a kid. Could run around for days. Now we like getting older, like, oh man, we wake up, our body already hurt.
You ready? My already hurt. Like, I get off the bed and that's the workout itself, right?
Right. We waking up and like, I pulled a hip already. Got a Charlie horse.
And it's just wild that we're really a part of that generation that's like getting the old. Like, we're getting old. I'm in my 30s now, so I'm starting to feel.
I'm 36. I'm about to be 37. 40's knocking at my door, man. You already see grace on my beard and hair already.
Look, that's all that matters. You still living life. You know, you are still experiencing things regardless of age. And I feel like that's another thing that a lot of that impacts people's mental health, is there's this timeline of things that we think we have to get done at a certain time. Like, we, when we were talking about when you had purchased your house, you know, we had this discussion of, we don't get taught that in our families from the hood, because no one owns houses. We're so used to just renting all the time, you know? Mm-hmm. And now that you're able to experience that, that's another generational thing that you get to pass on in the future. So that's definitely worth celebrating.
And it is.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm saying it is worth celebrating. Just like what we're doing here is worth celebrating, because we could have been people of our own victimization of whatever happened to us, the traumas. We couldn't be like, man, I'm going to play victim. I'm going to lay down and do nothing. Mm. Or we could have been vindictive. We could have been evil. We could have been like, I'm going to get revenge on the way that my parents raised me. But why? Because our own parents had their own traumas. You know what I mean? Like, end of the day, our parents had their own issues. Everybody does. And are we going to hold that against them?
Yeah.
We just got to work on ourselves. And, you know, that's what I've been doing, just working on myself mentally, spiritually, physically. I go to the gym. I'm still kind of chubby, but I lost like 6 pounds, you know, doing my thing. It's going to take some time, but yeah, you know, just that's what we got to do, is just keep spreading light to the youth, especially at this time. They need us more than ever, because, you know, got all this like negative stuff going on, and you even have kids in elementary taking their own life. That's pretty sad. I never heard of that ever, you know. During the whole pandemic, like, I was like, what? Is this real? You know? Because I remember growing up when I was at school, like, even my high school, where they had us pat downs, they had sniffing dogs in the classroom. But, like, if you had a problem with somebody, we never did it on the campus. Like, if you wanted to fight, we went to the park or something, like, far away from the campus. Okay, you want to square up? Let's go. Like, you want to, you know, catch these fair ones, whatever they call it, you know, squabble. But, you know, like, we didn't do it at the school, man. Like, if you had a problem with somebody, you handled it right there, like, at a park or somewhere in the neighborhood. I don't know. it's just different now. You know, some people just like have the mental health and then they go and shoot everybody. Oh man, like,
yeah.
But I think also that's part of the system, probably.
And I can definitely agree with our mental state does impact the way that we experience life. For some folks who have never had their trauma dealt with or have been hiding it for so long, or maybe you didn't have access to therapy or healthy outlets, there's a lot of folks who are now starting to experience psychosis. And psychosis is when you're in the state of like hallucination and things of that sense, because there was a trigger that you experienced that is now impacting how you exist in the world. And how people deal with that oftentimes can look like some folks conducting shootings or like doing things that are just out of your character. And it all stems from sometimes where our mental health is. There are some people who do it just out of like out of evil. Like I'm acknowledge that as well. But for most folks as well, sometimes it is our mental health that impacts the way that we connect to ourselves and other people around us. And that's why I really appreciate this conversation, because folks who know me and who read my book, y'all know my life experiences. Y'all know exactly what I've been through. You know me like an inside of a book and outside of a book, literally.
And yeah, that book's amazing. I read it still to this day. I always read it.
I appreciate that. And I hope it continues to leave an impact on so many other people's life, because those life experiences were really tough to go through, but also really tough to heal from, because when you heal from things that you've been running from, it's almost like you re-experience it over again.
Yes.
Like you get the moment to feel what you were supposed to feel, but you didn't grant yourself to feel, or maybe others told you not to feel for it. And when folks look at me, they always tell me, like when I ask, like, what's your first impression? Folks are always like, you just have life and you have everything together. Like, your whole life is just so together. And I'm like, that's what y'all get. And I'm like, damn, I may not be posting right or being as real, because I be going through it. Like, your girl be drowning just as much as y'all be drowning. Like, I am no superhero. Even though I have experience in a mental health department, I still, too, struggle myself. And there's a lot of therapists who also struggle as well. So I just want to humanize that. Some folks are really not their achievements, and not to get lost in that, you know, because it prevents us the ability to connect to people on a real human personal level, because we're like, oh, they're different than us, though. I could never tell my story. I could never write a book because I don't have the confidence, or I don't think that it's worthy, because someone in your past life told you that your story was not worth sharing or worth talking about. And so healing from even what we've been told, those labels that have been placed upon us, when we start to unlearn a lot of those things and take time to tune into ourselves, what we're going to recognize and notice is we're going to discover who we are based on who we are, not based on what everybody in the world told us. Because there's a lot of folks who get told, you ain't never going to be shit in life. You never going to
mind. Oh,
And a lot of folks
do that. Yeah, I mean, I got in that too. I remember going to like Sunday school back in the day when I was a kid. They're like, man, waste of time teaching this guy. This guy ain't gonna be shit. Wasting your time. Like, I got a lot of that. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, man, why you bother? Like, he's slow. Cause you know me, everything happened to me not on the time scale of like we were talking about earlier. Like, shit, I graduated from college at like 32 years old. Like, I didn't graduate when I, you know, got out of high school. Shit, I got married when I was, like, 33, you know what I mean? Like, 33, 34. I became a homeowner at, like, 36. You know, like, this whole society, you know, gets this thing with the, oh, you got to do this at this time frame. It's, you know, your teens, your 20s, your 30s. Nah, man, everyone's on their own journey. Everybody has their lessons they got to learn, things they got to go through and learn from, and keep evolving, you know, with the Most High within them. And that's what we should be teaching our children at. Like, there's no time frame for all this stuff. Like, you know, everything is in divine connection, divine intervention, a divine love, and they don't really teach that, you know. And I think these schools pretty much, like, when I went K through 12, was like a babysitting. They ain't teach me anything. I learned more in the streets and in poetry, you know. I didn't learn much in these schools, and I think that's what it is, too. It's like it's boring. I think that's why the kids tune out, because they don't relate, you know? They should, like, have speakers that, like us. You know, I remember when I went and I spoke and the four kids like in Watts. And you know, I went with my poetry group and like from Dominguez Citizen and we spoke about our poetry and I was like, wow. Like they gave us the undivided attention. They were interested. They asked questions. They weren't afraid to share. Like that's what happens when you bring people that relate to them, like us, you know, like me and you, you know what I mean?
Exactly. And that's why it's so important for me to keep pushing on my career to create these spaces, because there is not enough validation going on. A lot of our young adults and young kids are internalizing the world for what it is and making it their own struggle and feeling like they are unworthy and undeserving. And some of us are also feeling that way too. And we're just here to remind y'all that don't get caught up in that. You know what I mean? Be present with yourself, to be present around the world. Something that I do to help my mental health is I go sit at a park. I just got to get out the house. Get out the house, you know? Go and experience the world. So many of us think that we have to take a vacation and go far away to Hawaii or here or there to experience
peace. Vacations.
You don't got to. You got so much around you, existing around you as well. Find a park that's quiet or maybe that's loud, depending on your liking. But allow yourself to experience the birds chirping, water falling, like those little things do such a big thing for our soul. And being present with ourselves to be able to be like, you know what, I'm having a bad day. Or maybe I'm having an attitude a lot and I'm noticing how I'm treating people, because how we treat people is a reflection of how we feel inside. So pay attention to that. Because sometimes it's okay to be mad at folks, but it's not okay to hold on to that pain because it'll eat you.
It's going to eat you alive, because at the end of the day, that person going to live their life and you still holding grudges, eating you inside, and it's just hurting you. It's kind of like that person's living their life and you're drinking poison. Mm-hmm. It's like, what's the point?
Yeah.
And like what I used to do, you know, when I was still living in Long Beach, was like I used to go to the beach, meditate, get my tan on, get my brown on the natural way, you know, to stay golden brown, you know, that kind of thing. Or like I said, I was a foodie, so I used to go to Hando's, Cold Stones. Oh, what's that on place? The Holy Moly's, get fish tacos, you know. I used to do that, or just go to the mall, just walk around, you know, just get your body moving, just walk around. Or I used to do free classes at the community center. They had like free Zumba, free salsa classes. I'll just do that, you know, just to get your mind off of things.
That part, there's so many different outlets that we have to be able to connect to ourselves. We have someone in the comment section, my friend Jasmine.
Yeah, LBC, holy moly, she know about it.
oh, man, that's another foodie, too. Me and her, when we're friends, I mean, when we live next to each other, all we did was just get food together. I love it. And hopefully it'll be that way this summer, too. But yeah, I really just want to take the time, Moli, to just appreciate you for being a special guest on this podcast. Thank you for coming on and sharing your life experiences. Thank you for sharing your wisdom, being vulnerable to be even as detailed with some of the things that you have gone through that have impacted your mental health. With your vulnerability, I feel like a lot of folks are able to relate to this episode. They were able to tune in and understand from a male perspective, because I always have a lot of women, so it's always special when I have a male perspective here. And so I appreciate you and thank you for really being a part of this podcast, and for folks who joined in, whether in the comments or you've been tuning in for the whole since we started. Thank you so much. I see the hearts. I see the comments of y'all participating as well. We really start off with light, love, and peace and joy and all the things that we wish to experience in this life. Moli, is there anything else you would like to add before we close?
I'm going to do a piece before I give this like one final word. Like, you got to support each other. End of the day, we got to be there for each other. Even if we're not like big name artists, we should buy each other's books. You know, we should go to someone's feature. You know, and I think that's the thing too. You know, you got a lot of people like spending their whole check on like Beyonce and all that, which is, hey, if that's what you enjoy, that's cool too, you know. But like, there's a lot of great talent out here in Oakland, out here in the LBC, that's everywhere, you know. You have all this talent, and I think they should get that recognition they deserve, you know. And just to know that the impossible doesn't exist, only if you let it exist, you know. Yeah, my sister came on like last minute and said, hey, she's, you know, she be working a lot too, so. But I'm going to do this last poem, you know, so recent poem I just wrote. It's about, you know, becoming a homeowner. This one is called My Palace. Come to a place where I could rest my head. After a long day of work, driving onto the garage door, pressing the remote to open up the garage as I drive in, ready to park my car as I turn off the ignition. I walk out and lock the car, just excited to know that I will be going into a place where it will be a peace to recharge, to unwind, to smell the aroma of my wife's home cooking, to walk up the stairs, and to hold her ever so close. Her aroma warms up my body as my body warms up her. There is no place like this. A place where I can be naked. Naked not just fleshly, but also in a vulnerable sense. Where we can just talk and just embrace ourselves with no judgment. Enhancing ourselves to know that we work together to get this place that we have as a home. Not just for us, but for those whose souls we touch. To where they too can be themselves authentically, to be unapologetic, to be free and to enjoy life. Knowing this is what we worked so hard for, this place we called the palace, fit for a king and queen, for me and my wife, to live our life together forever. Thank you.
That was so fire. You even have folks on here who are like, I love the tone, the strength
in the strength in his words. Hey, man, I just love the spoken word. And that's my last advice, is to use your voice. Use your king voice. Use your queen voice. Let no one silence you. Because once they silence you, that's when they got you in them grasp. You know, just like the Black Panthers in Oakland, you know, they didn't let them silence them. You know, they spoke their voice. That's why we get to do what we get to, you know, to this day, you know. Just like in Samoa, they had the Mau movement. That was like when New Zealand, what you call it, they went to the island of Samoa and they try to, like, you know, tell the Samoans what to do. And then we rose above it, you know. That's how life is. You got to rise above it and you got to speak for yourself. You got to use your voice because, you know, like we've been talking about this whole podcast, is we come from proud ancestors and we can't just lay down and let them beat us. So that's my last words to the people. I love you all, man. I appreciate being on this podcast on Desiana, man. Thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate it. And I hope to see you in the future, man. And can't wait to get your second book. Appreciate it. Thank you so much. Much love to you and your man, your king, and your child, man. May you all prosper and live abundantly.
I appreciate you so much, Molly, man. Just even leaving with such positivity and so much love that you're pouring back into me. I really value and appreciate that. And again, thank you again for being on this podcast. Everybody on here is speaking so much love to you. You have folks saying, I love spoken word. Your sister saying, yes, bro. We have.
Yes. Yeah.
We also have folks saying, we love a good spoken word that speaks to the soul. I feel you so much. And then also my mother who's on here, shout out, mama. I love you. That says, silence.
Shout out.
Fear. And so thank you again, Molly, for tuning in and bringing that fire, that spoken word. And super excited to see what else you got in store. We'll definitely have to link up one time, especially before I go. So we'll keep in contact. But for folks who are listening, tune in, live in love, live in peace, and live in joy. We appreciate y'all so much.
Bye. Yeah, live in peace and love. Bye, guys. May the Most High be within you. God is within us all. You guys take care. Be safe out there and love each other, man, and all. Live with kindness, and love you all, man. Peace.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you again for tuning in with my podcast, Healing Ourselves Heals Our Hoods. Don't forget to subscribe and turn on your notifications for future episodes that will be full of authentic storytelling by members of our own community. You can find me on Instagram at CONFI_DEZ. If you haven't already gotten your copy of my poetry book titled The Becoming of Her, be sure to get yours today. We forget that reading is just as reflective and powerful. I'm sending lots of love and peace and light to you all. May we continue to heal ourselves and each other every day.